44264.
North.
No, Windsor.
Hey, sorry.
Sorry, you have a card?
I don't have one on me, no, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I can provide the contact information.
That's fine.
This is CHASTANG, 860-886-5561, and 3142 is my extension.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate it.
Afternoon.
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 Would you identify yourself?
Captain Andrew Powell, Windsor Police, issuing authority on behalf of Chief Don Melanson.
Thank you.
And Ralph Sherman, representing the appellant.
Brief statement of your case, Captain?
The appellant applied in July of '23, I believe. He was denied on suitability in September of '23, he was denied. Denied based on the number and context of contacts he's had with the Windsor Police. Some go back 6 years, and most recently was an incident 3 years ago.
Attorney Sherman, do you have?
I'll have it, thank you.
Captain, your case in chief.
Okay, I'll give you a brief synopsis of the incidents that were used, I keep wanting to use that, that were used to deny him based on suitability. In September of 2019, he was involved in a physical altercation with his brother. He was a juvenile at this time. During that time, the appellant disclosed to the investigating officer that he had attempted suicide 3 times in the previous 12 months. Again, in September of '19, he had another disagreement, verbal argument about house rules between himself and the appellant's father. Also in September of '19, he came to the Windsor PD, the appellant came to the Windsor PD, reported feeling sad and down, requesting to speak to someone about it, and he was referred to the department's embedded clinician for services. In February of 2020, the Windsor Police responded to the appellant's residence after the appellant reported that the appellant's mother had been in a room crying for several hours after having a verbal argument with the appellant. There's other things here that have nothing to do with him being, these are just regular contacts, I don't need to talk about those. In January of '21, he was arrested by a warrant and charged with larceny 6 for allegedly stealing merchandise from a former employer. And the most recent incident was January of '22. He was arrested for disorderly conduct and a family violent incidents during which all three members of the appellant's family expressed concerns over the appellant's mental health. One member spoke of statements made by the appellant regarding the appellant's intention to commit suicide by cop. During this incident, the appellant's firearm was seized, and the appellant was transported to the hospital for a mental health evaluation. A protective order was later issued, the appellant was the defendant. Subsequently, this case was nollied and erased, but felt it would, we'd be remiss to not include it in the appellant's case.
Was there a disposition of the larceny charge?
I believe it was, there's no record, I don't believe.
Well, that's what you stated in the questionnaire.
Yeah, so I believe it was not a conviction.
Would you like to press examine?
No, thank you.
Questions from the board?
Can you give any more details about the protective order in, it's like January 2022?
I want to say it's pretty much standard after domestic violence arrest that there's a protective order issued. So I don't know the details of what was written in the protective order.
Okay, the incident?
It was I believe it was a physical fight with some of his family members. I can find out. I do recall reading that he was the primary aggressor, as determined by the police. That's why he was issued, he was arrested. They had concerns for his mental health during that incident as well. I think it was a fight between maybe his brother and his father, if I recall correctly.
Was there a firearm seized?
There was a firearm seized.
Whose was it?
His firearm. The appellant's firearm.
Okay, so this isn't a really, he had a pistol permit, or was this something brought before?
He did not have a pistol permit at the time. He had a firearm in his home.
Okay.
I believe it was in a safe. He did take it out for the police. The police took it based on the arrest.
His case was dismissed?
Yes.
Where's the firearm?
I believe he got it back in, February of 23. He requested immediate return of items 1 through 6 that were seized. Look and see what those items were. Yes, he got, I believe he got his firearm back then.
What kind of firearm was it?
It was a Glock.
Long, it was a handgun?
Handgun, yeah.
Okay.
So he had no permit, but he had a firearm.
Correct.
And does he have a firearm today, do you know?
I don't know.
It was returned.
So he had.
We would have returned it to someone who would have been able to take possession of that firearm. We wouldn't have given it to him if he didn't have a permit. We would have given it to, I suspect, a family member. I believe 2 family members have firearm permits.
Okay, thank you.
Would you like to cross-examine, Attorney Shum?
No, thank you.
Questions from the board?
Can I bring up a document that was submitted as part of his packet?
Well, let me ask you before you do that, because I think that you're going to say the same thing. I mean, we're talking a little about convictions and arrests, and that's really not the crux of this case. It's a mental health issue, correct?
Correct.
And is the document you're talking about the evaluation? Because I was going to ask you, have you had a chance to review the psychological evaluation?
I have. I mean, this was provided by Attorney Sharma.
I assume so, but I just want to make sure. And all right.
Sorry, you want? Can I?
Well, you can wait till he. I'm sure the appellant's going to be called by his attorney, and we could ask about it.
Present it as part of this testimony, right?
Yeah, he can do that too. And if he doesn't, you can. Either way, it doesn't
matter. So I have 2 documents. Can I talk about it then?
Yeah.
Sure. I have 2 documents. One is 20 pages, one is 1 page. Mm-hmm. The 20 page one is from April of 25 by a psychologist in Glastonbury. It's very thorough. The one I have in July of 25 is 1 page. The one in July 25 says he's been seeing this client. This is from California, it appears. So I don't believe there was any in person. It's probably done for.
Rula is an online mental health platform.
Okay. Okay. I tend to give more credence to the in-person one, the 20-page document. I did make some notes in here. The report is very thorough. In my opinion, it describes ongoing mental health issues. The appellant's disclosed he did attempt suicide 3 times. He's been in institutions 3 different times. I feel that suitability regarding his mental health is a big issue in this case. I'm sorry, these 2 documents conflict one another. In the 20-page one, it says that he wants his permit for self-defense. Over here in July, the online one said he wants to use it for target shooting with his family members. So I don't know what to believe.
Does either psychological report reduce any of your concerns?
No. The 1-page one, I think you could, I don't know how it works online. Can you just sign up for an online evaluation in a half hour? And you know, if he answers,
you can.
I don't know if this guy puts his name to it. He says he's suitable for a gun permit. This guy laid out a bunch of reasons in the very thorough report. In my opinion, that state he's not suitable for a permit.
My concern is the one pager is from a mental health professional who indicates that he was involved with the appellant for only 2 months. It gives no frequency of the contacts.
Right.
It gives no database to the conclusions drawn.
I agree.
Other questions? Attorney Sherman.
Thank you. I'd like to call the appellant, please. How old are you?
I am 23 years old.
You've got to speak up, please, okay?
I am 23 years old.
Okay. And you live alone? You live with people?
I live with my family, which includes my father, mother, sister, and grandmother at the moment.
Okay. And you working?
Yes, I have two jobs right now.
What do you do?
I'm a management assistant at Enterprise Car Rental Company, and I'm also a volunteer firefighter with the town of Windsor.
Oh, okay. But this volunteer, that's not a paid job, right? The volunteer firefighter.
We receive stipends.
Oh, okay.
We receive some compensation.
Okay,
correct.
I get it. Okay. How long have you been on the fire department?
Half a decade, 5 years.
5 years. You go out to calls, like fires and accidents, that sort of thing?
On a weekly basis.
Mm-hmm. How many do you think you've responded to?
Several hundred at this point, more.
Why do you do it?
To fulfilling feeling, to help other people, to be part of something that's bigger than yourself.
You plan to continue with it?
Yeah.
Think you might want to become a professional? Like full time?
I've considered the possibilities, but just financially speaking, it seems smarter to stay with Enterprise.
Okay. The police have brought up a lot of incidents, most of which occurred when you were a teenager, but the most recent one was 3.5 years ago. Has anything changed in your life in the past 3 years, like since that last incident? How are things going at home?
A lot has changed, honestly, in the last couple of years. Relationship with the family has gotten stronger. We talk more. We communicate more. We're able to get past our differences a lot more smoothly.
Are you happy living with your parents?
Yeah, absolutely.
excuse me. How about the way that you deal with problems and disappointments?
Yeah, when I was younger, I didn't really have the resources that I needed to deal with my emotions. It almost feels like I had a late social light bulb moment where I realized that instead of sheltering myself, I could just, you know, rely on the resources that I have to actually, you know, work on myself, feel better, whether that's friends, family, whether it's, you know, hobbies, just things to motivate myself to do better.
So if Enterprise called you up tomorrow and said, hey, we're laying you off, that'd be a big disappointment, right?
Sure, but I still have experience, and that doesn't mean that life's over. That just means that new chapter is going to start, and who knows, maybe the next job's going to be much better than Enterprise ever was.
Mm-hmm. And if it bothered you a lot, would you talk about it with people?
Yeah, I have family, friends. I have other things to do, like firefighting, that, you know, helps clear my head as well.
Mm-hmm.
I have good friends that I've made through this fire department that will ensure that I have the resources that I need if I asked. And I know my family would do everything in their power to support me as well.
Do you, if it's up to you, do you plan to stay with Enterprise?
Yeah, absolutely.
You think you're going to move up in the company?
Yeah. In fact, I just got a promotion last month.
Oh, really? Yep. What's your job title now?
Management assistant. I moved up from management trainee.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And do you have access to firearms at home?
I do.
Okay. And how long has that been the case?
Since I was 21 years old.
And you're how old now?
23.
Okay. On page 19 of the longer report, the author wrote at the bottom of the page, based on interview and a reading of his clinical history, appellant presents with a minimal risk for imminent self-injurious and suicidal behavior. Would you agree with that statement?
I would, yes.
He's looking forward, he's forward-looking as he plans on meeting a partner and having a family. Is that accurate?
That is accurate.
Dating anybody now?
I am not, no.
Okay. Energized by his opportunity for career advancement. True?
That is true.
Finds a renewed motivation in his pursuit of a firefighting career. True? Even though it might be a volunteer career.
If an opportunity arose for, yeah, a mm-hmm. better opportunity, I will take it.
Okay. I have nothing further. But I do have another witness, Swimmer. True.
Questions for this witness?
Do I get to talk?
Yes, you do. Mm-hmm.
So he brought up what's on page 19 of the report. I'm going to go back to what's on page 18. It says, the appellant is depressed, anxious, chronically distressed 23-year-old male. Minor upsetting events can lead the appellant to become upset and destabilized. The appellant lacks the necessary resources to regulate his emotions and to neutralize minor unsettling feelings. The very bottom of that page, he is depressed and anxious. So I feel introducing the ability, I mean, he has access to firearms now, which is concerning to me, but to give him the authority to carry a pistol permit, carry a firearm outside the house is concerning to me.
Do you have questions?
For Mr. Sherman?
No,
Do you deny, is what, this was just in April, is, do you feel that's an accurate statement from your doctor?
I've read the report, and I believe that parts of the report conflict itself, which is why I actually gained a second opinion from the first report, which is that report that you have from Marula.
I don't put too much credence in that. Do you take medication now?
I do not. I have not since I was 18 years old.
Do you see a therapist regularly?
I do not.
That's concerning as well. Which is it? Is it for self-defense or is it for target shooting?
I'm going to object because under our law, that's not an issue. It's a permit to do whatever's lawful with it.
Well, it's not an issue, but there's a conflicting statement that he's trying to clarify.
Yeah.
That may be, but if it's not an issue that's relevant to whether he's a suitable person, it shouldn't even be raised in front of this board. Why people want their permit is not...
It's not...
Is your employer... You indicate that you want to carry a firearm at night at your job. Is your employer on board with that?
I've never said that.
Oh, it said in the report that you worked a night shift and you want to be able to be secure at work.
I work at the airport, so that makes no sense. I've never said that.
Well, it's in the report, so.
No, I have not discussed that with my employer, nor do I intend to carry at work.
I'll read it from the one pager, which I don't put too much. He is responsible for the safety and oversight of the National Car Rental location during late night hours with minimal staffing patterns. That leads me to believe that you may have disclosed to them that your intention to carry a firearm at work.
Well, but that isn't what it says in the report.
I have no more questions.
Other questions from the board for this witness?
I'm sure the doctor will have a few. I'll just jump to the. Where did you get the 43X?
Family friend.
They gave it to you? Family friend gave
it
to you?
It was gifted.
Gifted to you? And how old were you when he gifted that to you?
21 years old.
So how old were you in January 23rd of 2022?
It's what, 21 years old? My birthday is January 4th.
Of
2002.
Is that 20?
20. Is it?
My 20? Okay, sometimes I have issues.
It was along with fully transferred though.
That's what I'm getting at. So you were 20, I thought, so you were born on January 20?
January 4th, 2002.
Correct. So you turned, that's when you turned 20, correct? And so you turned 20, on January 4th of 2022, correct?
Then I was 20.
You were 20 when he gifted that handgun to you?
Correct.
So that's illegal. And so how was it legally transferred to you?
I wasn't familiar with the process.
Was someone else in your family by the permit? Were they involved?
My father and brother have a permit.
But this friend gave that to you?
Correct.
Correct. Was there any paperwork done through the state?
No. I was explicitly told as long as it stayed at home, I did not need a permit to just have it at home.
Not a permit, but the transfer of the firearm. Going from one person to the other, there's a legal process that has to occur. And that didn't occur, correct?
I was told I can register it when I turn 21, and that was my intention. But I was not aware of what you're referring to.
And they couldn't have transferred it to you anyway when you were 20 years old.
Would make sense.
Yep. So not only were you too young to have a firearm, it was illegally transferred to you. There was no legal process that occurred back then.
Other questions?
Well, I found the longer report problematic because there are contradictory elements to it. For example, on page 10, the evaluating psychologist, and just to be clear, that psychologist is not the appellant's treater. It was a consultation for a determination of risk, and so that does not establish a doctor-patient relationship. Just to be clear, because I know you referred to the psychologist as the appellant's doctor.
Okay.
That's not the case. On page 10, and this is directed towards you, sir, the appellant. The evaluating psychologist describes you as depressed, anxious, easily destabilized, and fragile. My concern was that's not a particularly consoling description from my perspective as a board member. Why do you feel that the evaluator described you that way?
I'll be honest, the discussion was relatively short with the evaluator. The evaluator just wanted to kind of discuss the events that happened leading up to my previous hospitalizations when I was younger. He asked how I felt, and I told him how I felt, that I had resources available, that I wasn't depressed, stressed, or anxious. But he said given the history, he didn't feel comfortable not adding it into the report, at least. But I spoke with him for 2 hours, so I don't believe that we had enough time to really discuss the events that unfolded when I was younger.
He also administered some specialized tests.
Correct.
During the evaluation, and I believe that statement was a conclusion based on some of the specialized testing, not just on the clinical interview. How many times did you actually meet with the RULA clinician over the internet?
It was on a weekly basis up until the report was written.
For how many weeks?
From when we started meeting until we stopped, it was on a weekly basis, and that should, I believe, be in the report.
Which says May 21. Since May 21, since July 24.
So about 2 months.
And what was the duration of the time that you spent?
It was between 50 minutes to an hour for every session.
So
Did the clinician take a detailed history?
Yes, so I started off with the clinician. I was very transparent. I let him know, hey, I just conducted an assessment, and the assessment, you know, kind of leans both directions, so I, you know, want to meet with you, discuss what's in this report, and kind of go from there. So we started with the premise of, I emailed him this report, and we started each session just discussing the report and going off of it. And then after we discussed the items in the report, he asked me, you know, my plans moving forward, how I felt. And then he wrote his report then based off of our discussion and this report.
I'm sorry you didn't put more detail into his report. It sounds like you were looking for a second opinion.
I'll be honest, it was more of a financial issue. I had spent, you know, a lot on the legal fees and this assessment, and a second assessment would have, you know, put me in a little bit of debt. So, unfortunately, I did take the cheap way out, you know.
Thank you for being forthcoming.
When was the last time you had a treater? So as the doc said, this is an evaluation for the pistol permit and with the other, but how about a psychologist, psychiatrist that is your doctor? When was the last time you had one?
When I was 18. So I was heavily medicated as a minor. When I turned 18, I fired my psychiatrist and cold turkeyed all the medication, and I'll be honest, it was just an uphill, you know, ramp since then.
So you were advised to have treatment, and you were on medication, and when you could legally, you just disregarded all of it.
Yes, and as I don't know if it's included in the report, but unfortunately, they just kept pumping me on different medications. Every 2 months, I was switching medications because it didn't work, and I didn't feel anything, and that's also why I kept going, you know, referring to the PD, asking for help. I just didn't know how to get help.
You and talk then, about a long time ago, or when you were younger.
Yes.
You're 23. 18 is not
when I was
that
a minor, when I was a child.
Right, yes. But 18 is not that long ago. You know, I mean,
I just couldn't make my own choices when I was a minor. I couldn't refuse care if my parents wanted.
The lengthy report, the doctor that did that, said you would benefit from further treatment.
And I pursued further treatment as well, yes, from the therapist through Rula.
No, that's not treatment. That's an evaluation. Have you received any treatment?
What do you mean by treatment?
You have a doctor you're seeing to treat your any mental health issues you may have. Because neither one of these docs were treating you. They were evaluating.
Well, that's what I was inferring to you, sir, is...
Yeah, but you're doing that for the pistol.
I don't know. Chief, I'm sorry to interrupt, but it says at the top of the Ruler letter that he's been under my care since May 21. I think that's a treater. That's not he came to see me for an evaluation. That's a treater.
Why did you go to that doctor?
Because I wanted to further discuss the findings of the report, which recommended that I further seek treatment.
Did it have anything to do with your pistol permit? Is that why you went there?
Partially, I wanted to see whether or not this second opinion believed I was a fit or not to have a firearm.
How many times in your life were you hospitalized for mental health issues?
Three.
When was the last time?
That would have been the case in 2021 in January. Instead of me being put in cuffs, they just forcefully, not forcefully, but...
How long were you in treatment? Or were you an inpatient?
Yeah, I was forced to go in inpatient because they signed the document, and I was out within 4 days, I believe. The first day
Do you have any records of that stay? Any evaluation from your time there, or whoever treated you? And why were you there? Was that a suicide attempt?
No.
What was that?
Well, the PD had alleged that I made some comments about suicide, and so I was taken and evaluated, but since there was no risk, they just let me out.
I don't think anyone's... You said there's no risk?
Well, there was no suicide risk at the time.
No, imminent suicide risk. Well, I don't have a report, so I don't know. I'm just assuming.
Yeah.
That's what
there was no attempt made. There was no indication of an attempt to be made on that day.
Have you ever attempted suicide?
Yes, when I was a minor.
Okay, that could be 8 years old or that could be 17 years old.
Between the ages of 15 and 17, I had the three attempts, which led me to these hospitalizations.
And what kind of attempts were they?
The first one, I took some medication. The second one, I sat on a bridge and called the police, told them I wanted help instead of jumping. And the third was I gave the police a description of myself and told them I was chasing a guy around.
When was the last time you had any suicide thoughts?
Before I was 18, when I was a minor, so the last hospitalization.
So since then, you not once thought about suicide?
Not once.
In the evaluation by the longer, I'll just say the longer, you report using marijuana beginning at the age of 21 once or twice a month.
Yeah, when I was in college, I had bad friends who...
Well, that was 21 when you started. You're 23 now.
Yes.
So my point is, when was the last time you were using marijuana?
More than a year and a half ago. So I finished college in 24, in summer of 24, and previous to that was the last time that I've used.
And what, any other drugs?
Never.
Never. How about alcohol?
Never.
Do you see how this is concerning? I mean, the report that we have saying that you're, I mean, I had the same things highlighted that the issue authority had highlighted, I'm sure everybody else did. And there's a real concern there. Do you understand that?
I understand that, yeah.
All right, I guess I got nothing.
You have graduated from college?
Yes, I have my undergraduate degree from University of Connecticut.
Were you at Storrs or in Hartford?
Yep, Storrs.
Storrs? What did you major in?
Allied Health Sciences, which is a mixture of pre-med and health administration.
And when did you graduate?
I graduated in, I want to say, May of 2024.
So?
Or, yeah, May is when I graduated.
A little more than a year ago.
Yeah.
Other questions from the board? Do you have another witness, Attorney
General? I do, thank you. Excuse me, I'd like to call the appellant's father. We can skip with him giving his name, please. Thank you. So we'll just identify you in that way. You are the appellant's father, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So you've known him all his life, right?
Yes.
Right? Okay. And you still live together, right?
Yes.
How do you feel about him living with you currently? Are things good?
Yeah, things are good. I'm happy that he's still living with us. Meaning, some people reach this age and you know, move out. I'm happy.
I'm sorry, you have to speak a lot louder.
Yeah. And maybe slower.
Yeah, so I'm saying I'm happy that he is actually living with us at this age, right? Mm-hmm. Because some people choose to stay with their parents, some people, you know, choose to move out, so.
Some of the incidents that the police cited involve some sort of a dispute between him and you or other family members. The last one that the police have being January of 22, 3.5 years ago. Are there still serious disputes going on at home? Confrontations, fights?
No.
Has something changed?
Yes, he has matured. He grew up.
Oh, okay. Do you have, how about him threatening to hurt himself? Are you worried about him hurting himself?
No, not now. I feel he is much better now than when he was young.
Have you seen anything change about the way that he handles problems or disappointments in life?
Yes, I think he handles them better now. He can talk more, or at least let the anger kind of cool down. Mm-hmm. So there's, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he testified he does have access to firearms at home now, right? Yes, is that true?
Yeah.
Okay. You love your son, right?
Of course, yeah.
You wouldn't want to lose him, right?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. And you don't think that he is at risk to hurt himself if he had a firearm and a permit?
At this time, I think the risk is minimal.
What if we were talking 3 years ago? Would you be here supporting him?
No. I would have had more worries at that, 3 years ago. I would be more worried.
Do you have a permit yourself?
Yes.
How long?
How long?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe about a year or so. Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, how many years did you say?
I'm sorry?
How many years did you say?
About a year.
About a year?
Yeah. Just from my memory,
Okay. And how's he getting along with his mother?
Yeah, it's much better now than when he was younger. So, yeah.
Okay.
He does care about her. And,
you think it was just a matter of growing up?
Yeah.
All right. I have nothing further.
Would you like to cross-examine this witness?
Court, No, I wouldn't.
Do you have another son, sir?
Yes.
And does he live with you?
He got married, so he moved out about a year ago.
I do actually. Can I go back and ask the question?
Yeah.
In the incident in 22, there was multiple family members, you, probably the brother, and someone else that all said separately that he made suicidal comments. That's why they sent him to the hospital that day. Is that true?
Yeah.
Okay.
Talking to him later, he was saying that he was misunderstood. But
they did.
Yeah,
we committed
him. But I thought because there was a history, so we were all worried.
Okay. The police did an emergency committal, and he did get sent to the hospital, right, against his will that day.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's what you're saying was it was only 4 days, and he was out.
Yeah, that's my understanding.
Okay. I have nothing further.
Can I, may I go back and ask your client? You were out at Storrs for 4 years?
No, I was commuting every day to and from campus from Windsor, Connecticut.
For 4 years. Okay, you were studying there, but you didn't live there.
Correct, yeah, I commuted from home.
Were any of your, what I would call your mental health crises, did they happen during your years at Storrs? Studying at Storrs?
Yes. It was in my freshman and sophomore years that most of this happened. So college actually took me 5 years, not four. The reason, because 2 years through college, I took a gap year to take Fire One, basically go into the Fire Academy, complete my probation with the Windsor Fire Department. And once that certification was complete, I then went back and finished my undergrad. So it actually took me 5 years with that gap in the middle.
But during those years, you didn't access the mental health resources at Storrs?
No, since I didn't live on campus, it just didn't align. I wasn't really able to walk to where I needed to, and I had my car on campus, so it just made sense
and
to drive home.
If you found a parking lot, a parking space, you didn't want to
go. Unfortunately, my parking, was all the way across campus, and I would have had to
hike 3 days.
Yeah.
I understand. In Windsor, which fire department, which building are you?
That's the Hayden Firehouse,
Hayden,
which is
Hayden
in the
Station?
District, same as the Target and Amazon facilities.
The Hayden Station?
Yes.
Thank you. Well, you have good pancake breakfasts.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
Any other questions?
Your brother lived at home during the time period when you were younger and had issues?
Yes.
Yep. How old is your brother?
Right now he's 25. He just turned 25.
Do you have a pistol permit?
He does, yes.
Did he have firearms at the house during that time?
No, he did not. He purchased his first firearms after he had moved out.
Okay. So you were the only person at home with a firearm?
At what do you mean, like at the time of the incident?
Or yes. When you were 20?
20.
Yes.
Okay.
It sounds like your dad didn't have a permit that is, I think your father mentioned in his testimony that he's had his permit just for a year.
Yeah, neither my brother nor my father had the permit at the time, correct. And it's never left the house, it's never left the safe.
Other questions? Attorney
Sherman,
would you like to sum up?
Yes, please.
I understand the concern on the part of the police and on the part of board members. But I think his father has it right. This was a matter of growing up. A lot of things get sorted out when people grow up. You know, we had another case earlier today where it was growing up from like about age 20 to age 43. Well, between 20 and 23, people usually, especially young men, have the ability to make a huge change. His father loves him. His father wouldn't put him in danger. His father's testified that things are good at home. They're getting along. And that he's handling his problems not in a negative way anymore. That's what this all really comes down to. I understand there aren't too many people more frustrated than I am with these reports, the psychologist's reports. But I think when we have a parent who lives with the appellant, sees him every day, was one of the people involved in these confrontations, disputes, etc., fights, whatever was going on, comes in and says, you know, back then I wouldn't support him having a permit, but it's different today. I think that carries more weight than those reports. Thank you.
Just to supplement what Attorney Sherman said, this psychological report is only dated in April. And as the chief pointed out at the end, there are concerning statements that were only made, you know, 7 months ago. And a few that I highlighted. It's a concern of ours. Not only what happens in the home, but if he has a permit outside the house and he gets into a disagreement with somebody, is he going to resort to a firearm to solve his problems? Because it said he doesn't have good problem-solving techniques and gets irritated easily. So that's all I have.
This is a denial by the Windsor Police Department. Denials for suitability. The basis of the denial was a history. In September of 2019, there were three incidents in which the appellant had verbal arguments with family members. Another verbal argument in February 2022. Looked like there was a arrest by warrant for larceny 6/21. Well, it seemed like the more significant concern was an incident in January of 2022 in which Helen had an argument with family members, a police emergency evaluation report request was completed. There's also a protective order issued. There was a firearm seized that belonged to the appellant, even though he was 20 years old. The appellant does have a history of mental health issues, especially prior to him being 18 years old. The appellant provided the board two separate reports, one quite lengthy, the other was one page in length. They both have conflicting conclusions in them regarding the appellant's suitability to have a Connecticut pistol permit.
Thank you.
Oh, Mr.
from the board? Dr. Conrad, anything to say?
Yes. I think it's quite important that the appellant's father elected to appear before us and give testimony that carries significant weight. I felt that the appellant was forthright and forthcoming in his remarks. I do believe that maturation has taken place. However, I personally feel that there should be more time to have those changes solidified and to provide a sounder basis for reconsideration. So that's going to influence my vote.
Anyone else choose to comment?
I'll go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, along the same lines, I think growing up is the key here, maturation. And you're clearly on the right track, there's no doubt about that. But it's only been 3 years since the most recent serious incident. And so I'd just like to see a little more time go by, but I'm confident that you're getting there.
Anyone else choose to comment?
Oh,
just that I don't look at this as a series of immature events that happened along the way of growing up. There's an underlying mental health issue that's gone on for many years and brought to current times by the report that, when I read it, it makes it pretty clear that this, the evaluator doesn't think that the thing would be suitable. So I agree, certainly more time. But it's very concerning. And I think the issue of authority brought up, you know, carrying a gun, don't want to have to worry about him hurting somebody else. I'd be concerned about him hurting himself. And that's, you know, he talked about taking some pills or sitting on the bridge. A handgun certainly could have been devastating had he had access to a handgun. And I know we had one in the home, and I'm not sure how we got that, but I would be concerned for his safety.
Anyone else choose to comment?
I think mental health is the tendency folks take a hard stance on. And it's not funny, but a 2-hour assessment gave you 20 pages of jargon and conflicting responses, and 8 to 10 weeks of treatment gave you a one pager. That was okay. Underlying for me is that you're still young, you're 23. Sounds like you got a bright future. But again, these instances happened a short while ago. And I'm glad your dad is here to speak on your behalf as someone who was part of those incidents. Something I'll consider in the next 30 seconds before we vote.
I think, to me, the real concern is your safety. And as others have said, it doesn't seem like quite enough time on a stable basis. And you're probably going to get there. It's going to be fine. And I applaud you for your work with the Volunteer Fire Department. But I'd like to see a little more time of stability. Were you going to say something?
I was just going to say that I think hitting a certain age or a certain point, everything doesn't switch. There has to be some maturation, you know, like going to mature over the years, but don't not continue getting help. And that's a positive. I would actually feel more favorable if you were able to continue with the ruler or whatever. I look at that as a sign of strength, as recognizing there's issues, and I'm just getting the help I need. A lot of people get help all the time. It's a good thing. And you know, you seem like, I was a little concerned that at 18, seem to cut everything off. I can handle that on my own. 18-year-old, that's a hard thing to do. Hard thing for a 23-year-old. It's great your dad's here. That's just, you know, I'm a little concerned about the, you know, the way you went cold turkey. And so I would look at it as more positive if you were actually still getting help. Everybody needs help sometimes. But I think you did very well today. And it seems like the last 3 years you've done very well. And that's a very positive thing.
I'm for voting. Dr. Conrad.
The issuing authority at this time, I'd like to see further proof of stable emotional regulation.
Attorney Sinetti.
Issuing authority at this time.
Mr. Gray.
Issuing authority.
Colonel Overton.
Issuing authority at this time.
Attorney Even Ledger. I was doing so well.
Issuing authority.
Colonel Lewis.
Issuing authority.
D. Clausen Scott.
Issuing authority.
And I vote issuing authority.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.